is Inside Motorsport.
Yes, joining you for another week, Colin Ford, and we are at the, well, the beautiful Hotel Hyatt, the Atrium Room, as we get set to the presentation for the FIO Rally of Canberra, and, well, a very interesting set of weather conditions leading up to the event, which have culminated in a fantastic victory to Possum Bourne.
Well, that's right, Craig. We've had what we'd call a rally of changes. What we had was very wet, miserable conditions for the start of the rally on Friday, around about 10:30 a.m. And that changed as the day went on. The day dried out a bit and conditions improved, but it was still pretty miserable out in the forest through Friday evening, fairly cool and damp. And, of course, by the time the crews got to Epic, things had at least dried off a bit. Saturday, nice dry day. Things looked great out in the forest, and of course the some of the tracks the cars were running out there, the forestry roads, they were sort of a mix of dry in patches, and where they were in shade and shadow, they were definitely wet and slippery. And by the time we got round through to today, conditions had improved enough, and we were basically in a situation where the track was largely dry, a few wet patches under some of the overhanging trees, but certainly a very interesting and different rally of Canberra, one that you know, has seen a great victory for Possum Bourne. He was taken up to him by a number of other competitors, but unfortunately, once again, for local boy Neil Bates, his rally of Canberra late version Hoodoo, suggestions have been circulating that he bought car parts from Mark Larkham, has struck again. He had some problems on the first day, had a bit of an off in the first stage, then rolled the car on the fifth stage, and that put him out for day one. He came back on day two, and also today, and put in some very fast times. Actually, a couple of times he put in today were the fastest stage times for sessions he was running on, but he had a few problems today as well. But, yeah, that's just the way things unfortunately go sometimes.
Mm. Well, one man who's made the trek across from South Australia is Dave Langfield. And, Dave, welcome back to Canberra once again and to Inside Motorsport.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. It's good to be back here again for Rally of Canberra. But, of course, as Colin said, sharp contrast to the conditions and the weather we had from last year. I recall 3 days of glorious sunshine last year and unfortunately had to leave town in a hurry on the Monday mornings to get a plane back. This time we've actually got a chance to enjoy it, and the weather's been against us. But today and yesterday, of course, the track started to dry out. Fair bit of mud this morning still, and one comment that's come through also with the bright sunlight we had this morning is the drivers are having a bit of trouble in the forest with the shadows and then the sunlight on the screen. Quite a bit of difficulty caused by that, as well as yesterday evening actually with the gathering dusk. A number of the wildlife, such as the kangaroos, were causing a bit of trouble there for competitors. One actually is apparently striking a kangaroo, so perhaps we might have to get Cameron McLean in here because he seems to be the expert from Bathurst at avoiding roos.
Well, the other thing is, with the rain, and it was torrential rain on Friday, did that keep the crowds away, particularly on Friday night at the Super Special Stage?
The Super Special Stage, I'd say, on Friday had a reasonable-sized crowd. You know, usual thing, Friday night, people in Canberra get out and about. But I think it kept it down a little bit because it was a bit cool and very, very damp underfoot. But definitely out yesterday and out in big numbers again today. So those people who went out there saw some good running at the Epic Super Stage. They saw last night Possum Bourne, Neil Bates and Katsuhiko Taguchi all better a time that had been set and share a $10,000 prize for setting faster times under a particular mark, but the $50,000 that $50,000 prize FIA Insurance had up for beating a particular set time, that went begging. Nobody could do it because the conditions were a bit miserable, to say the least, in terms of the track conditions. But everybody enjoyed themselves. But today we actually saw a few cars strike the concrete wall quite hard. Actually, one of the Japanese drivers did a very good demolition job, and actually his pit crew was standing near where we were when he hit the wall, and there was a case of, oh, much work tonight. So, you're taking the car back, but he was enjoying himself, and this is the thing that actually was interesting to see for all the drivers after they go out of the cars from the Epic Super Special Stages, was the big smile on the face, because they're all thoroughly enjoying themselves.
Yeah, just on that, drivers giving it their all for that Epic Stage this afternoon, we actually had Simon Evans in the Volkswagen kit car on his cool-down section of his lap actually strike the wall and do a nice big Craig Lowndes impersonation, and I thought he was actually going to light it up on the infield and do a few donuts for us, but I think maybe perhaps the idea of getting a fine off the stewards perhaps made him discretion being a better part of valour, and he sort of let it off a bit for the crowd and then proceeded off to the Parc Fermé area, but certainly enjoying themselves there and perhaps even going for that $50,000 prize.
Now, certainly this is not the only motorsport event that's going on right across this weekend, and before I came in here, they had not posted yet the results for the Konica V8 Lights, but of course Trackside next weekend on Channel 10 will be a place where you can see all that action. But just to let you know how it was all going, it was Ryan McLeod, who in the Kmart racing car. Now, I think McLeod's actually running under John Sidney, the Asia Online team's banner, even though it's a Kmart racing car. And what you find, just for people who are interested, that if you look at the Kmart racing car, it has black wheels on it, as opposed to the Murphy Richards car, which has the white wheels on it, and that's how you can tell it's a Faulkner racing entry. Useless information, I know, but I thought I'd give it to you anyway. And in the... so he set fastest lap, Ryan McLeod, in for heat number one at a 1.35.05. Now, if I go back to my stats on the track to give you an idea and a comparison, Craig Lowndes holds the lap record at the Phillip Island Circuit with a 1.33.43. Now, that was set at the beginning of the year. So Ryan McLeod, 2 seconds off the pace, which I personally don't think is a bad effort for a privateer, Dave.
Yeah, certainly no slouch there. Obviously on perhaps different data and setup there, but certainly very hard to compete with HRT, with Craig Lowndes there setting the benchmark, but a fantastic effort there nonetheless. A lot of benefiting from some testing there. I know back in, I think, Malala last weekend, we had young Halliday out with his EL Falcon out at Malala at a test day there. I was lucky enough to get out and have a look at in some atrocious dusty conditions. So these guys are still putting in their effort and doing well to try and get up to those level one positions.
Now, whilst we have you here, of course, the race of 1,000 years coming up right on the New Year's Eve is a big race. How is Adelaide 1 getting ready for sports cars in the City of Churches? And number two, how is it going organising officials? We see an event like the FAO Rally of Canberra's last week, we were told that they're using up to 1,200 volunteers to help make this event possible. Obviously on a New Year's Eve, like the Race of 1,000 Years is going to be, it's going to be even harder to get officials and volunteers to come along.
Certainly a good point there, Craig. First of all, as regards the sports car race itself, it's generating a lot of interest, particularly on my regular job, people see me as the sort of most support guy to go and talk to about the event, and it is drawing a lot of attention, saying, what are these cars? Apparently we're going to get some Formula 1 drivers or the rest of it, and it's like, are we going to see the full-blown Formula 1 circuit again? Yes, we are, and it's going to be, 6 hours of non-stop action, I believe, going into the night, as we had a bit of a warm-up for that with the GTP race in Adelaide a couple of weekends ago, and certainly that was a spectacular thing at night. To see the cars there circulating around the track and, full-blown 350 k's an hour along the old Brabham Straight in a sports car is going to be phenomenal. As far as the official side of it goes, I think we use somewhere up to 600 officials for the 500. Obviously, we'll need some more just for the trackside positions for the sports car event. New Year's Eve, you're right, I had initial aversion to this myself. Wasn't sure about working on New Year's Eve. Colin's kindly decided to come over and bring the family over, so we'll make a bit of an event of it. My initial reluctance, and hopefully the majority of the officials that we use, all the female volunteers, of course, will see their way clear to having a great night for the sports car event, and finishing at 10 o'clock in the evening. You've still got the 2-hour concert after the race, a la the old Formula One days as we used to do. Seeing the new year in a party atmosphere after seeing, 3 days worth of fantastic motorsport, so we're all looking forward to it, and hopefully, as I say, we'll be able to get the numbers there on the day.
Yeah, also on the bill there at Phillip Island, if I can jump back to something we were talking about a half an hour ago, but was the Formula Ford event, which of course Liam Ferrier doing such a great job this year, and in fact was trying to repeat history as she won at the V8 supercar round right at the beginning of the Formula Ford season. Once again, no information coming through before we left to do the OB. We're in the atrium at the Hotel Hyatt here in Canberra. We looking forward to tonight, the presentation for the FIA Rally of Canberra. Of course, the teams finishing up around 3 o'clock today at the final super stage, which Channel 10 was covering. And of course, Ben Beasley not here with us in person, as he is now furiously cutting up the video of leg three to be shown on Channel 10 next weekend, so, and also to get the packages out for the TV news tonight. But we will have Matt Waddell here a little bit later on, of course, Possumborn, and of course Stacey, his co-driver, will be along. And interesting to see Taguchi, who I think was car number one going into this, the second round of the Asia Pacific Series, coming out of the event in second position with Derek Ringer on board. And of course Derek Ringer, no slouch at all in the co-pilot seat.
Well, that's right, and Derek Ringer was a man well known for his work as the co-driver to Colin McRae in his championship winning year with the Subaru team, and now Derek is with Mitsubishi Rally Art running and helping Taguchi come on as a young up-and-coming driver, and again a driver who shows great promise for the future. Another driver that was here was Karamit Singh and Alan Oh in the Proton Wira, who actually won the first round of the Asia Pacific Championship up in Indonesia, and they were actually giving that car a good push, and actually quite a large contingent of supporters down here for them. And I think Taguchi is one of those names we'll be seeing more of in the future. He's still on a learning curve, and the interesting part is the fact that the car he was running was a Evolution 5. He didn't have the latest Evolution 6 car, and no doubt if he gets his hand on one of those he might go a little bit faster, but he was learning all the way going along. The other driver that was from overseas and doing quite well was the Italian driver Andrea Maselli and his co-driver Nicola Arena in the Rubicon Course SRL team Mitsubishi Lancer Evolution 4. This is his first gravel rally, and everything he's done previously has been on tarmac, and for him this was a bit of a blooding in a gravel and loose surfaces rally, and apparently day one with all the rain and the sloppy conditions he apparently thought it was atrocious and wanted to go home. But when the conditions improved, the weather got better, he stayed on and joined the rest of the rally guys as they had some fun out there in the forests of Canberra. And actually I think this will probably work, hopefully it will. We'll have a bit of sound from what it was sounding like out in the forest when the cars came through the mine shaft on Saturday morning. You hear some very good response from the crowd as those cars going through. The very interesting part was we're out on the mine shaft on Saturday morning, and all the top guys go through, and of course everybody's there watching them do the jump, and a few of them bottoming out, whereupon we had the famous words, "Tell me children, can you spell sump guard?" And we got a few responses there. The other part was Simon Bevans at that stage was still running Saturday morning through the mine shaft section, and put in a great jump through the mine shaft, got a great ovation from the crowd, whereupon half the crowd got up and said, "Well, we'll see what we came to see," and headed on to the next section. And we were a bit further down at Wark's Road later in the day, and the word came through that Simon had actually damaged the car and wasn't going to come through on the Saturday afternoon. And sort of a number of people said, "Oh, well, I suppose we better hang around and watch the rest of these guys go through." So realistically, if you look at two people who are very, very popular with the crowd currently, there's Possumborn, certainly. Neil Bates, one of the people that does definitely get the people going, and Simon Evans with that Volkswagen Golf kit car, he just gets everybody up and running and jumping around all over the place, so it's going really well there.
Well, overnight, and of course as everyone's getting ready this evening to watch at Barcelona, the Formula Ones are going to be out onto the track. Michael Schumacher taking his first pole position for the season. We might just talk around the group here, because Schumacher has looked fantastic so far, with McLaren being able to get out in front on most occasions in qualifying, but Schumacher just driving superbly to get through their day. And that's an interesting pole position for them, because the Barcelona circuit, Circuit de Catalunya, is probably not the most suited to the big Ferrari, which is always known for top-end speed.
Yeah, certainly, Craig. The McLaren boys always seem to be able to get it together for the one flying lap during qualifying at the time when it counts, usually in the dying moments of the session. Schumacher this time having, you know, plonked it on pole, you know, and basically got himself the best possible start for tonight's race. Like most modern Formula 1 circuits, getting in front by the first corner seems to be the way to go. Otherwise, as we saw it at Silverstone, it was a hell of a struggle for him. Pit stop strategy, of course, from the guys at Ferrari got him up to third place and salvaged what was probably the best result he could have hoped for from the day. This time he's going to be in front, hopefully in the first corner for, you know, from his point of view, and you know, do what he does best for Ferrari, and that's put through some fast flying laps, establish himself a cushion, and then hopefully for him, walk away with the race.
Of course, leading up to the race, plenty of drama for the McLaren team with David Coulthard, their team manager, and also his fiancée, or a wife now, don't know, but I know the name's Heidi and I can't forget that, but they were all involved in a plane crash which took out which killed the pilot and co-pilot in that event. And one, it's remarkable they actually survived the event, but number two, first day of practice, fifth fastest, and in fact for qualifying, fourth fastest, is an amazing comeback and an amazing recovery after he showed such tenacity at Silverstone to pick up a great victory there, and his pass to get the victory, just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that just goes to say that the mental preparation and how highly these guys are actually thinking to be able to put an incident like that behind you and get back in the cockpit of a race car, days after something as horrendous and tragic as that happened, and fully focus on the job is what sets these drivers apart from the rest of the rest of the world. And his pass at Silverstone was nothing short of spectacular, and in the dying laps of the race, it looked as though actually Hakkinen could have been making the charge there, and he held on with some great determination there to get the result that he deserved.
But on top of that, here we are, race 5 in the season, talking about Coulthard, unbelievable. Race 1, 2 and 3, we're talking about Coulthard, is he going to be there at the end of the season? Amazing what one race can do for you.
Well, this argument's popped up in the past couple of seasons. Hakkinen obviously in the past has managed to establish himself very early on in the piece as the I won't say number one driver, because McLaren would deny that, but it's become quite clear as the season's progressed that Ron Dennis seems to be not once they're favouring Mika Hakkinen, but the results that have tended to go that way, and obviously any smart team manager is going to do that to maximise his chances of picking up both the drivers and the Constructors' World Championship. David this time has really got to go all out at the season start, trying to establish himself as the guy to beat, get the points on the board, and he has at this stage got more points than Mika Hakkinen and through more consistency basically, and he needs to sort of establish himself and stamp his authority on the team and say, hey, this is my year, I'm going to be the one that goes for it.
Alright, now also as well as qualifying on Saturdays, it's most of the European Grand Prix is the Formula 3000, of course. Mark Webber over there in Europe competing with the Formula 3000 crew was leading the championship with 14 points at the end of the Silverstone round, where he ran in conditions not unlike what we saw here on the Friday in Canberra, atrocious wet conditions, but this weekend starting in a superb race at the start, picking up six places, and then unfortunately running over some debris on the track, picking up a puncture which put prey to all his hopes of maintaining the championship lead in, of course, round three. Now that was on the third lap of the race. He's promptly gone into the pits after having a start out of 17th position, so problems in qualifying there for Webber, as he was quick off the mark, moved up to 10th position, and then what he did, he dipped behind the Ulsterman in Kevin McGarrity, and then contact with McGarrity from his front wing caused a small slash in Webber's right-hand rear tyre, which forced the Eurobet Arrows off the track into the pits for a replacement. Now, Webber lost a lap, and although he was able to rejoin, he was never again in the running, but he set the fastest lap on the race on his fourth lap, which is about the sixth lap of the race. He then, on lap 29, before eventually retiring five laps from the end of the race with a fuel pressure problem, went out again and reset another lap record for the race. Now, a fantastic job there by Mark Webber, and we always remember Alan Grice going over to Europe, never won anything, but he just ran through the field like a barnstorming effort. He had Brock and Moffat sitting back there just finishing the races in fourth and fifth place, but it was always Grice charging through. And whilst this is a major disappointment for Webber, the nature of European racing is they saw someone charging through, making passes, and that's what really, Colin, will help him in the end. When he's not having his best weekend, he's still out there, he's still, you know, making the race.
Mm. And that's the thing with Mark, that basically the determination that he's got will help him get there and push hard. And I suppose in some ways people say that in terms of his driving style and his tenacity, he's very similar to Alan Jones in the fact that he will push hard, push his way through the pack where possible, and you know, that essentially he's a driver who will try his hardest and will push through, and I think that's what will probably attract him, the eye of a number of the Formula One team owners to Alan, to Mark Webber, and if we're lucky, I'd say, you know, he is the man who will be the next Australian in Formula One. Mm. Of course, the other news, unfortunately, that last week was that James Courtney, in his latest round of the British Formula 4 Championship, unfortunately had problems there and didn't win. So that sort of broke the situation for him.
Four race winning streak, I think.
Yeah, so unfortunately for him, a bit of bad luck there. I believe, I think he got tipped off by a backmarker, went to overtake a backmarker, and the backmarker moved over on him, and that sort of ended his race. But at that stage he was actually leading quite comfortably, so it's one of those things, you know, two, three laps from the finish, a backmarker doesn't really see you, or maybe you're operating on team orders, who's to know, moves over on you, and next thing you know you're off, and that's unfortunate for James. But then again, he took it apparently fairly philosophically and said, well, okay, these things happen, look forward to the next race, and that's good to see.
With the Formula 3, just to wrap up that piece there, Colin, a victory going to Bruno Junqueira, and with that victory it also took him to the lead in the championship. And second place was Nicholas Minassi, I'm not sure of the correct pronunciation, and he also will bump up ahead of Webber into second position in the championship, with Mark third points, only 4 points adrift of Junqueira, so not a bad effort. And as I said, he lost nothing by a pretty stout drive in that one. But Colin, of course, back to the reason why we're here at the Hyatt Hotel in Canberra, and that of course is for the Rally of Canberra, and you caught up with a few of the drivers at the press conference.
That's right, and we'll just run that now.
And we've got them changing as well, because the damage to car in the amount of the weekend, we've got them changing. And these sort of conditions, if we pulled our finger out, we should be able to pull some time. And that's the way we've got our ship together, the spire on it, and the way we're in, and then we just put it up to 4 back to 5 o'clock. And by the end of the day, we've got our competitors who are like ecstatic about it, who are seriously hard conditions out there. But I think we had the right car. And the right package, and that was going well. I mean, yesterday was pretty rough, and really good grip. So it was just hang on for the ride and go for it, and we had a good run here, and then just get it home.
Nice and comfortable way out to Rally New Zealand today in July, your home event, the next day in Super event, comprehensively faster than both Doctors Ranjit and Suzuki Sun.
Yeah, but you know, what you've got to realise is Davinci's third time in that car. New co-driver, you know, new teams as such, I would say, with Hush Boys. So I would suggest that this was a fairly good learning curve for him. I know they've got a new car coming that didn't quite make it for this event, so I'd expect it to be quite a lot faster in New Zealand. New Zealand's always either really good or real shit for us, so we hope this year will be really good. We, you know, but we'll go here and fill our best shot. Next thing, the boys from Super Australia, they'll see that we're really tough for that round as well. So that gives us a much better opportunity to get a higher result. And with the way the rules are now, we're, you know, the World Championship team drivers don't score Asia Pacific points, but then that's an official right kicker for our Asia Pacific Championship aspiration.
Mentioned
co-drivers
in there, Mark,
you from your seat over 3 days. Quite my fire when you saw what it's like, car going around Epic there, it's quite sensational, as you imagine. The 3 days were somewhat different. The first day was so wet, surprised a little, and tricky and treacherous. It was very hard to get car flowing, you know, like catching it in the mud all the time and trying to get it straight and go again. The next day was a huge amount of gripping, it was just you know, put up with the G-forces going around corners, and so it was very wet and slippery and sticky. So it was quite different day as I thought, but overall, very good. Enjoy the next one.
Thanks. Hey, could you spend of the team today in working with what I understand is a milestone for Team Subaru, and first time that you've scored a group A and an A-group members in an Asian Six event ever. So, is that you?
Yeah, well, the whole weekend's been really perfect. Today was probably one of the hardest days, I think, even though we had a huge lead. It's not so easy to sort of drive that sort of, I guess, 7 or 8 tenths, because one, you lose concentration, and two, you don't know where you're going to be, so I figured I'd just figure to race at the sort of normal pace for a race out, and that's just don't have to take any risks, and you don't have to go play actually the 8s, 9s, and 10s that we thought where you'd actually manage to race occasionally, which is a good thing.
Your next event will be, as it possible, will be back to the Australian Rally Championship. How does this experience here help you with your campaign for the third Group N ARC title?
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Again, it's a very different road up there. And basically we're building on, you know, winning first, which is a bit of a surprise as well, and this is also a surprise I sort of hoped that we'd be here, but didn't sort of expect it at all. So we're looking forward to Queensland, but again, different rally, it'll be back there, we'll be spread out, we'll be pushing or not, but we'll try and get as much testing as we can in there, and I think that's one of the benefits we've had. We've had 2 days of testing for the first, and we've also had 2 days of testing for here. And we managed to set quite a lot of fires, and we can get an actual genetic natural activity. So if we do some more testing in Queensland and get the car to that properly, we'll have a good chance.
And just really quickly, is the car where you want it now? You've got a little bit more set up to do. How much more you need to do before you've got it as possible to do the car and the package working?
I think the car was as good as it could possibly be. I think it's absolutely awesome. And that together with the tyres, it's really the whole package, like I said earlier. The whole thing, I think my driving probably improved a little bit, but it's easier to drive this car. And the results show that definitely over the last 2 rounds. So I think it's the whole package rather than just the running car, but definitely the tyres help this year because they're an improvement on the last few tyres. They're another generation up. And they're actually still one generation away from what the world rally team are using. So if we can get some of those tyres, I think we can see even further out, which would be awesome.
Okay, so as
yeah, so we're hearing there Possum Bourne and Cody Crocker at the press conference today. The interesting thing, of course, I mentioned the fact that the match rally that they run in the Asia Pacific Championship rounds is the rally in New Zealand. And at that rally, they will be getting some of the latest bits and pieces, including the latest specification tyres, which is a big thing. You know, the specification tyres, it's interesting looking at the ends of the various stages. A lot of the comments the drivers were giving were around tyres, chewing tyres out, going for the wrong cut of tyre in a number of cases. And that was one of the hallmarks of the fact that the Pirelli runners were consistently the faster runners across the field to a large degree. The few Michelin runners, they weren't doing so badly. Yokohama guys were in somewhere in between. And again, apparently depending on the specification of Yokohama tyre that was available to the teams, apparently there were a couple of different specifications that the Advan/Yokohama backed teams had the best spec. They were doing very well with those tyres. But then the privateer guys who were buying their own, they were sort of running one or two specs behind. And in some cases that, you know, does show up in terms of track time through a stage. But tyres were a very large part of this weekend, particularly with the changing conditions. People may not understand that you'd think with a rally tyre, if you've got sort of bad, sloppy conditions, you'd possibly want to go for a big chunky tyre. Well, not always the case. Sometimes you want to go for a finer cut or similar, because what you want to do is actually cut through the top layer of mud and get down to the base that is below that, so you actually go for a tyre that will do that. Sometimes you'll go for a narrower tyre compared to a wider tyre. A few drivers also had problems with tyres. We saw a number of cars going through with punctures, flailing around, knocking off pieces of bodywork, and a couple of cars we saw going through some of the jumps, dislodging pieces of bodywork, which then became souvenirs for some of the marshals. So I can say there's a few marshals out there who were raising aloft their little piece of spoils or trophies of this weekend's Rally of Canberra. But again, a good rally. The one thing I think that we figured out from our time out and about in the forest was the fact that there are some places where they could put in a few more spectator points. Some of the spectator points were very, very crowded, which meant there was people were having to sort of look over people, round people. And a little bit of extra work in a couple of extra viewing locations, spectator points would help. Okay, it means you're going to have to possibly have a few more marshals and so on to control those points. But it means that people get out to the forest, they can get a good clear view, and therefore enjoy it more, rather than traipsing for miles along quite muddy tracks on occasions, and getting and finding they get to the place where there's no viewing point, and they can't see anything because people are just so thick on the ground. Yeah.
I think we're here, let you know again, we're here at the lovely Hotel Hyatt here in Canberra. One thing this hotel...